And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, December 20th, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode 40. I'm Scott.
And I'm Matt.
And I... Did I have your... I think I had your volume up there.
I don't know. Can
there you are. I got you now.
Yeah, if I'm still Matt.
I got you.
Yeah, your volume.
I know. Welcome into the show. It is actually... Yeah, it is Episode 40. You're right. Because I don't have it. This thing, I didn't get a chance to do this. I completely forgot, so don't pay attention to these numbers. Anybody.
You almost did that in tune to the music.
Say again?
You almost did that in tune to the music.
Yeah. Microphone a little bit up higher, directly into it, because I am not picking you up in my headphones for some reason.
It keeps on lowering. How about that?
I think this is better. One of my favorites here, we're playing all the way through. I have Steve over on Discord, except I have the wrong button pressed. There we go. Steve, you there?
Hey now.
There you are. This is Balls of Snow from the video game Bully.
It's been a while since I talked to Matt.
Hey, yeah. It's been a minute.
Been a real minute. I think the last game we played was like Aliens, Colonial Marines. whenever that came out,
it scarred me so bad.
It wasn't the greatest game.
No, but it was fun.
I appreciate
co-op makes anything fun.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it does. I appreciate both of you being here today. RJ could not make it, and this is the last show we're doing for the year. This is it. We got two more weekends until we got next weekend, the weekend after, no show here for those, and so. I appreciate both of you being able to find the time to join us and be on the show.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Love talking about games.
I know. It's fun to talk about video games. So let's see. I don't know. If you want to get in touch with us, don't worry about it. It's the three of us here. So we're just going to be here to have fun and talk about the year that was or the week that was or any of that stuff. There's really no agenda as far as what we're going to get to today because it's the last show of the year.
Why change now?
We've never really done that. I've just always gone on a tangent of things, and that's likely to happen again. It's happening right now. So why don't we start with, I was going to say what we've been playing. I have not been playing a thing. Marvel Snap's about it. That's it. And that's a card game on your phone or whatever, and I just don't even count it.
All right.
Because at this point, I feel like I'm getting close to not wanting to play that anymore, to be honest with you.
Fair.
I've been doing it for years, and it's just like, why do I keep doing this? Why? I feel like it's helping me
it's
to
just habit?
Pass time or something, yeah. You know? It's just, there's no, why?
I did
why?
That with Candy Crush.
I never touched Candy Crush. Never played it.
The time waster.
Yeah.
There's just something you throw on and you just kind of get sucked into it.
I guess.
That and Duolingo.
I've never touched that either. Is that a game or is that a, what is that?
It's for learning foreign languages.
Oh!
I'm trying to learn Spanish.
Is it like gamified learning? Kind of?
You just do it every day or else the owl yells at you.
I find that when people, or I say when people, I find with when things are gamified,
yes,
I'm more likely to
that. Brilliant for a while. That's kind of gamified learning through like, you know, STEM stuff. Like I was doing coding and mathematics and stuff. They gamify it.
Yeah, like, for Steve, all it needs is an achievement list and he's there, so.
That's all you need to get. Put it on anything.
Yeah.
I'll be playing it or using it.
Yeah. So anytime they ever do stuff like that, I'm totally down for like, I could get this will make it. I don't want to say easier for me, but for whatever reason, it gives me more motivation.
More obsessive.
I suppose it finds whatever that is, Skinner box or whatever that is in your head. It clicks and says, okay, now I have to do this for just a completely arbitrary reason. Is to tick off an imaginary box on an app somewhere that gives me 10 points I can't use anywhere else type of thing, you know? What have you guys been playing? I mean, I don't know who to start with. I guess our guest.
Yes.
Steve, we'll start with you. What has been on your list other than Battlefield 6, which I think you were playing earlier?
Yeah, I've been in like a little bit of a gaming rut. I was sick.
What?
For like a good solid 7 days.
Ooh.
And it like pulled me out of my Battlefield routine. And I started getting like looking through my wish list on Steam and trying to like figure out like what I'm going to spend time on this Christmas, like to really kind of play through. And I was looking through it, even the games I have, and I'm like, do I really want to start this? So I started playing like a lot of remakes or reboots or remasters, actually, is probably the best word for it. Like 90s remastered games.
So, I just picked one up recently.
Which one? Did you pick up Blood? Because that one was released recently,
That's on my list, but no, Outlaws.
Oh, yeah, LucasArts.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, that's good.
Of course you would.
Of course, yes. They're coming for
you. That's funny you say that, because one of the games that I jumped into was the new Dark Forces
remaster. Oh, that's a good
remaster.
I like that one. I think that's also by Night Dive.
Night Dive is the king of all of these remasters. Like, it doesn't matter what game it is. Excellent job. Like, I finished The Thing a few weeks ago.
I remember that one back.
Was that Night Dive as well that did Thing?
That was Night Dive.
You're right.
I went through Dark Forces. I went through Blood. Dark Forces was interesting, too, because I haven't played it in 30 years or whatever, whenever it came out. 1990.
It came out in 1995.
Yeah, 95. Don't worry, yep. Matt's going to know. If you have a question about anything Star Wars related, gaming or otherwise, Matt will be able to tell you.
Hopefully.
In the most Rain Man sense, he'll just jump out with a date. He knows.
Ask me about
this
my job,
stuff.
And I'd be like, I don't know.
I know. Any other part of his life, not going to know. But a Star Wars thing, he's in. He knows.
But yeah, so it came out in 95 because it was one of the first ones that require a CD.
There he goes.
Oh, right, because of the music.
Yes, it was the music.
They used the iMuse system.
Yeah, so, like, during that era...
You're really good at doing this. You're really good at this.
I have a really weird Rain Man brain, apparently.
You're just... Oh, my God. You're a savant, man.
Anything else, I'm just dumb as bricks.
No. You can bake very good. You're really good at making these cookies. That was good.
That's my first time baking.
Really?
Yes, I don't bake. I'm a cook.
That wasn't too bad. He made some
Pfeffernuss.
German is it a seasonal? Is it like a Christmas cookie?
It's a Christmas
German
cookie.
Christmas cookie? Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now we've gone off on the tangent here part. Let's go back to Dark Forces, back on CD-ROM.
Yeah, because I'm going through like my memory of like how I played games in the 90s, like with Doom. It's like Doom. You get the red card. You open the red door. Blah blah blah. With Dark Forces, there was like an interesting thing they put in the game where the puzzles are a little bit more. I don't remember this at all, by the way, from like the 90s. But I'm playing through it, and it's like, okay, I got to find this key card off like this officer, the stormtrooper, or something. And then you got to look in your PDA, and like three little symbols show up, and you have to actually use those symbols to open doors or like start computer systems and everything. And I'm like, wow, like I don't remember this. When I first played it, I just remember like killing stormtroopers and be like, oh, it's a first person shooter in Star Wars, so this is great.
They did change that. Didn't they change it up a bit? Didn't they do something to where
it's a pretty faithful?
Or am I thinking of, I'm thinking of Dead Space. Remake of Dead Space.
Maybe the remake.
I think
Dead
they
Space.
Changed up stuff there where the monsters weren't always
where they're at.
The monster closets were mixed around. They didn't always come from the same location.
There's a lot of retreads with the Dead Space remake. Like, that was one of my complaints about it, is like, I knew exactly where all the beats were going to be, like, as I'm playing through it. It's like one of the more recent remakes. It's like, why remake this? You know, the technology hasn't changed
advanced
that radically.
That
where, yeah, it's like, why? Why are we doing this now? Unless you're going to, like, relaunch it and, like, continue it from a different, you know, like, do Dead Space 2, but do it completely different or take
with,
it a different
new engine.
It's kind of the way I feel about the upcoming Black Flag for Assassin's Creed.
There hadn't been enough technological advancements. Yeah.
Well, there's that plus...
Maybe a gameplay event, because the gameplay changed with Origin.
It did, but...
Odyssey, then Valhalla.
But at the same time, they've never remade an Assassin's Creed game. Right? They've never gone back...
The handheld ones, they did sort of...
Well, they moved the handheld,
three,
they ported...
They
did do three, but why not go back to the original? Why not go back to the first? I don't necessarily...
I completely agree.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that you need to go back to... One of the most perfect games I think I could ever tell you about is Assassin's Creed 2. That is one of the most perfect games that has ever been done. You can categorize that in so many different ways. One of the most perfect games is a standalone if you want to. One of the most perfect sequels that has ever been done to where it is enhanced upon the first, you know, on the first
and
one,
expanded
but
upon.
Expanded upon it as well.
That's a good way.
You can also classify
it. That whole trilogy was really good, like Two, Brotherhood, and Revelations.
That's what I was getting into next. Then you could also classify it as one of the best journeys of a main character where you whatever reason, we latched on Two. We latched into Brotherhood. We latched into, that third one that I'm...
Revelations?
Was it Revelations? Yeah, I think it was Revelations. To where they even had, like, hey, you know what? Let's finish out Ezio's life with this little animated sequence to go to you know, put a cap on the end of it. Yeah, exactly. Never have they done that before that I've seen with any of their other characters. But my God, it works so well. So, but no, we're not going to remake those. We're going to go to the pirate one, which I'm okay with because it's pirates. But at the same time,
it has shanties, Scott.
I get it.
Damn,
I know
shanties.
But it feels like. It feels like what they're doing is they had was it Skull and Bones, right?
Yes.
They wanted to release Skull and Bones,
and it flopped.
It took forever for them to finally release it. When they did, it flopped, and they're like, "Well, what are we going to do this? Well, we can take this tech for this ship tech that we have, and we can integrate it into a remake of Assassin's Creed 4, and maybe get some money off of it."
I wouldn't mind if they did the sort of the gameplay of the newer ones. Because 4 and then Syndicate, I think, really were like kind of the last ones. Then they broke off with Odyssey, how the game mechanics changed.
Oh, it absolutely changed when they went into those.
I like the mechanics of the new.
I know you
do. I like how it is now. Yeah. Trying to go back to like some of the old ones, it's just...
Did you play Shadows?
Wait, Shadows, that's...
That's the more recent one. It came out this year.
Yes, I am playing it now. That's okay. That's what I was getting into, stuff I'm playing.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
Anyway, Duke, go back to your remake thing since we just wandered all over you.
Real quick,
that's what
fun
happens
fact,
when we talk about it. It happens like that.
Dark
I stopped
Forces,
playing on 4.
Fun fact, Dark Forces was one of the first true 3D first-person shooters because before that with Doom and Wolfenstein, they were 2.5D. You could not actually go underneath textures or underneath structures, whereas Dark Forces, you could actually go underneath. And so it added a certain verticality that was not available in other things. It revolutionized first-person shooters.
It did. It really did.
With, like, crouching and jumping.
And I never played it.
Aim up and down.
I never played it.
So, yeah.
I have it, but I never played it.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it was a good playthrough, like, to kind of go back there. But, like, that game, the Blood remake, which was completely pointless, by the way. Like, because this is the second time... that they've remastered it.
It is, yeah. The Whole Pint of Blood or something like that? I think it was the first remaster.
Fresh Supply. Fresh Supply is the first remaster, and this one is called Refreshed Supply.
Okay, and I knew it was something.
The only difference, really, between the two is that the newest one, the Refreshed Supply, they remastered all of the cinematics. Like, you know, at the beginning and the end of the episodes. Because if you go back, I went back and actually installed Fresh Supply just to look. I'm like, I don't remember it looking like this. And I went back and looked, and it's that old pixelated, you know, like ripped right from the CD-ROM, like direct, you know, there's nothing changed about those cinematics before. But it looks quite good on the new one.
So if you don't have the first remake, this would be a decent one to get?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you go straight to this one. Which, of course, the game is hilarious, like, with this... I mean, it's essentially Duke Nukem, right? Like, it's right up my alley with the pop culture references and, like, to the movies and...
Oh, Army of Darkness was all over that one.
All over it, with the mini hands and the break the mirror and the little blood guys come out of it. Yeah, it's I Live Again, you know, is the first thing he says coming out of the grave.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fun, but... So I played through both of those things, and then I even played through a game that I'd never played that was I've had it in my Steam library forever, Postal.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Never played it.
One, two, three? Which one? The first one?
The first one. So I vividly remember, like, the controversy about it, too, like, because it is such a, like, weird play because all you're doing is just killing people. Like, that's...
Yeah,
like,
there's no, like, top-down isometric?
There's innocent people, and like, there's police officers, and you're just shooting them. And it feels very weird. Like, there's no real point to it other than, like, to get to the next level.
The point was to make controversy.
Was it, though? Because they even stamp it at the very end. Like, after you go through the entire game, at the very end, there's, like, a little tiny short video of the guy shooting up a school. And, like, school kids are, like, running out.
Good Lord.
Yeah, like, it's and I'm, like, looking at this. A different time. This is like, what spawned, like, the whole Columbine, you know, discussion around this time. Because it was, like, 97, right? Like, it was the same year. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe this game exists. Not just exists, but, like, spawns sequels that, like, people bought. I mean, it's wild, like, playing through this. And it made me feel like the Modern Warfare level. Remember?
Call of Duty? Yeah. What, Not a Real Russian or...
No Russian. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
That's the airport level?
Yeah. That's the airport level.
It made me feel like that. Like, when I was... And this is, you know, the graphics aren't great, right? So this is, like, 97. But still, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, just going through this game. Very weird game to play. Especially after playing, like, Blood and in Dark Forces, where... You know, there's like a point in the story, and you know, it's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing with Blood. So hit up those three games. This is what I'm talking about. Like, I'm kind of like in a gaming rut, and then I'm like, you know, I remember some other games from the 90s that I haven't played in a while that are sticking in my head, and I went and looked at my account, and lo and behold, Night Dive remastered it and then released it for free if you already own the game. Heretic and Hexen.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just excellent. Like, I think there's even a couple of games in there that I haven't played anymore, but I started playing that, and, like, all of the dialogue is, like, just hitting me, like, full-on nostalgia, like, from just remembering when I played it 30 years ago. I keep saying 30 years ago, but it's really, what is it, 20, let's see.
Dude, it may, well, I guess it may as well be 30. Yeah. Splitting hairs, really.
I remember when those came out.
So I'm in the middle of that right now. I haven't finished that one yet, but that is just, like, playing through, like, as a wizard, and, like, there's actually classes and
magic.
Same deal.
Yeah,
magic and these weird, you know, demon enemies that are coming at you. It's just really neat to kind of go back and see, especially having it in ultra-wide resolution, which is what I play at. So
yes.
Back in 98, when I was working in Montgomery Mall, here in Montgomery, I was working at the video game store.
I was working in the other mall at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm almost positive.
It's before I came over to the other. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Id Software did Quake,
right?
And they released Quake demo on CD.
Yeah.
Which was the first level of, I mean, the first, you know, like how they used to do the software demos back in the day. It was World 1, then you have the other worlds.
Yeah.
On the CD, they had their entire library up to that point. And all you had to do was just, like, crack the CD.
Oh, yeah. I remember that,
and
yeah.
And so, like, you just get on the internet back then and find this code, you put it in, and you have their entire
entire library. Yeah,
I don't mind saying now, like, so many years later,
it's been long enough.
I don't think they're going to come after me, because I have since bought all of those games on Steam, legit. You know,
I don't think they care.
Yeah, I don't think they care. But yeah, I remember doing that, just like getting all. That's how I played Heretic and Hexen, was through the software CD demo of Quake.
I don't think I ever owned the game. I think I had the same thing. I had the demo version of it, so I only had the first level, and, you know, I can only go so far through it. But having it now and just kind of going through it again is really just neat to kind of see this look as good as it does, and it's just hitting all the right spots. Because this is the kind of weird state I'm in, like, with gaming. Like, I was trying to think of, like, the next thing that I'm really excited for. Like, I'm going to drop everything for. And, like, I'm just in a weird spot with that. I don't really. There's, like, very few games I can think of that are even in development that I would do that for. And
I got mine. Yeah, I know which one.
You got yours. I want to hear yours. But, like, even on my wish list right now, you know, there's stuff that I thought that I was going to be really excited for that I still haven't bought yet. You know, like, like Indiana Jones, I haven't bought yet.
That's such a good one.
Silent Hill 2, I haven't bought yet. Or the other big one, what was it? I just saw it on my wish list before, but it was, I'm like, I can't believe I haven't, these are the things that I've been waiting for or like trying to, you know, find some excitement to get. And I can't find it on my wish list right now.
Indiana Jones was fun. I mean, I played that on Game Pass, so it didn't, for me, I didn't care about a sale because I could play it through the subscription service.
I 100%ed it, then I went through and I did the DLC.
I got 100% on it as well. I have not done the DLC, though.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Because, oddly enough, the DLC was not part of Game Pass. In other words, even if you had a subscription to Game Pass, you still had to pay for the DLC. And I just thought, maybe it'll come eventually, and I'm still kind of sitting around for that, but
I mean, Troy Baker does a fantastic job.
It's just really well done. It's really well done.
Like a good indie adventure,
and I get puzzles out of it, which I love. Puzzles, I love I love environmental puzzles. I love just puzzles in general.
There's some I was like trying to figure. All right, let me think.
This is the DLC more puzzle or what? I mean,
there's some. Yeah, there's some puzzles in it.
I mean, there's some, but is it more focused on puzzles? Is it more focused on combat or exploration? I mean, where does it
exploration and puzzles?
Okay, so if you were to put it in a you know, it's more exploration, followed by more puzzles, followed by more combat. You know,
The typical indie combat.
Okay, yeah, all right. Let's see, we're already at the bottom here, so let's go ahead and take our first break, and when we come back, just more Three Guys talking about video games, really. I've got a whole list of things, because, you know, we got a Star Wars reveal at the Game Awards.
Two, yes.
Yeah. The Racer, which is Racer, Criterion developed.
Yeah.
I know. And Criterion has developed a lot of other stuff than Burnout. And I've been sort of like, there's a little bit of Burnout flavor, you know? I can, like, taste a little bit of it. But it's also like, it's not quite there. And I'm not saying that they won't get there with whatever this Pod Racer thing is. But
Galactic Racer.
Yeah, but any time that they're involved, I have to try. I have to, because if it is there, God, if it is there, I'm there.
You saw in the trailer, there's destruction.
I am chasing that dragon. I have been chasing it
for decades
since they stopped, since Burnout Paradise. And then you've got Fate of the Old Republic, which I am, and that's with Casey Hudson, I believe, from the Mass Effect team working on.
So that did move the needle a little bit for me.
It's way the hell out there, man.
I mean, this is like them announcing like the next Mass Effect game. Like, when did they do that? Like, 6 years ago? Like, we've been waiting.
They announced it 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they announced the next Mass Effect, and all they said was, you know, we're working on another Mass Effect, and that's it.
Didn't they release a teaser, though?
7 seconds. Like, 7 second video.
I mean, Oblivion.
That was what came out 2 years ago? I feel like it was way longer than that.
It could have been longer than that, but it was 7 seconds because it was. They're fascinated with seven, the N7, whatever it is. Normandy.
Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's that too.
Yeah,
I'm not as much of an Elder Scrolls guy as I would be a Mass Effect guy.
Yeah,
as I would be a Star Wars guy.
Yeah,
but yeah. So anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Steve, more with Matt, more with you guys. We were playing Christmas music here, and I didn't even go through the whole like, hey, you can find us on Twitch, you can find us everywhere on this, whatever. Last show of the year. This is music from Yoshi's Woolly World. A Little Light Snowfall, I believe, is the title. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back into In-Game Chat. We are doing the Christmas music here for you, and this is from Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
It is Arendelle is the name, I guess, of the track, or maybe the area, I think, that the music comes from.
From Frozen.
Yeah, which I've still never seen.
I just saw it a couple weeks ago for the first time.
Really?
Yes.
Have you been over to ASF for their production?
Nope.
Okay. Wasn't sure if that's maybe where you went.
No.
But. All right, welcome.
I went to Disney World for my birthday.
So. Oh, okay. And you saw it there?
No. When I came back, I was like, because, you know, in Epcot, they have the Arendelle area. And
I get it, but, like, I keep asking, like, oh, did you see it there? Nope.
Nope.
No,
I got stuck on that ride in Epcot.
Oh, nice.
Like, they had to evacuate us.
I wonder if someone did something in the water.
Man, I haven't been.
It was really weird too, because like the music just blared, like we were right next to a speaker.
Oh, geez.
And then like the lights came on, and the music like stayed on for 15 minutes, and then I think like 40 minutes later, they finally were able to like get us out of there.
At least it wasn't Small World.
It doesn't matter.
No,
it doesn't matter if that sticks or not. The song, the music will. One ride is all it takes to embed that into your brain, but. I haven't been to Disney since 87 or 88.
I haven't been since November. Oh, wait.
Yeah, been a minute for me. Anyway, welcome back to the show. So we haven't talked to Matt to figure out what he's been playing. I mean, it's probably a long list, but go ahead down the line. Start wherever you want to.
Jeez.
I'm going to stalk his Steam page while he talks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, Indiana Jones, I did that. Really loved it. Went all the way through with that. Did Ghost of Yotai, which I enjoyed. It's
really? You've already jumped into that, huh?
I already beat it.
Man.
Yeah, I already.
You're on top of gaming. I am so just like.
When it came out, I loved Tsushima so much.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it.
I think that's the next one I'm going to jump into on my PC, but it'll be a minute. It's
not out yet for the PC.
Tsushima.
Oh, Tsushima. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you not play that one?
I got the director's cut on my PS5 and played a little bit of it, but didn't stick with it. And then I eventually picked it up on PC on a sale.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to play it there.
I really like the series.
I also grabbed a PlayStation 5 controller, a DualSense controller, for the PC.
Okay.
So I will also be able to play that on there and experience
the way it's supposed
the
to
The way
feel.
The controller works with it, you know, like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're wondering, well, why would you do that on them? Just because?
Sure, yeah. But yeah, I did Yotai, beat that. Playing AC Shadows. And for the most part, you know, like I'm going through the extra island for the DLC. And
that's on sale, and I've been considering it.
Okay.
I think it's on sale for like $35.
It was weird because I started Shadows, then I picked up Yotai, and played through all of that, then went back to Shadows.
Really doing just, your Japanese...
Well, that, and I'm like trying to be like, all right, no, wait, this was this game, this was that game, and trying to like, you know, they kind of like, the gameplay mechanics kind of like fuse a little
do
bit.
They
right?
make, do they kind of cross over a little bit?
In my brain,
In
they
your
did,
brain they do, yeah.
To where it's like, okay, I have to remember now that, you know, this isn't Yotai, this is Shadows and you know, stuff. But been... You know, enjoying that one. Because of Scott, I picked up Ball X Pit.
That's right. I showed you
the demo.
I sent you that demo. I was like, Matt.
Yeah. You said try that. And I'm like, all
play
right,
this.
Whatever. And then I'm like, all right.
Just
and
try
then,
the demo. Play yeah. it. It's like Arachnoid. Is it Arachnoid? Breakout and Vampire Survivors had a baby.
Arachnoid.
Yeah. Arkanoid and Vampire Survivors had a baby here, and this is what they produced. So you should play this. And you did, and you liked it. Is it everything you wanted it to be?
I'm going through it.
Because it's working. Like,
it's a lot of fun.
It worked its magic on me, man. I 100%ed it. So.
Yeah.
Where are you at currently?
So as I beat like kind of a level and get more cogs to go further down the pit, I go back to the previous levels once I open up characters.
Okay, you played it like I did. Which was, every time I opened up a character, I went back to the original level and played all the stuff.
You get bonuses.
You do.
From those little, you know, and so now I'm finishing out the second to last.
I wouldn't tell.
The one with the bunnies.
I wouldn't tell you how to play a game, but I will say you're playing it the right way.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm doing it with the bunny level, you know, where they have the bunnies. It's kind of like you're in a cathedral, it feels like. It's like the second to last.
Whoa! I know the one you're talking about. They're the ones that can catch your they can catch your balls.
Yeah.
They
shoot the magic arrows that follow you around.
Uh huh. Yeah. They've also got an enemy type that will catch your special balls.
Yeah.
And you have to destroy them in order to get your special balls back. Yes. So yeah, you've made it pretty good. Yeah, you've got one more level.
One more level. Yeah.
I've
unlocked all the characters.
Yeah.
And cleared out the entire field for your homestead. Now I'm just trying to figure out like how I want to manage that.
Yeah, there's some good tutorials online as far as like how you want to put
resources and
all your stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going through trying to find like the best combination of balls to fuse together and evolve that I really like.
You've unlocked everyone. What? Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, there's a couple of characters that I just can't stand playing with, and I'll take the guy that plays the game by himself and pair him with those other people
just to beat it. Yeah,
and I'll just be go through that level, please. I don't want to mess with these other. I don't like the way those other characters work.
Yeah,
you go ahead and do it. Really, there's only one. It's the guy who plays the game turn based.
Yeah, the strategy one. Yeah,
where
strategist.
Thank you. Strategist. Words are hard. I'm laughing at you, but you know that I screw that stuff up. So I have no absolute room to poke fun in that regard. But
yes,
the strategist or strategist for some.
Yes, he
just right. You fire a ball, it does what it's supposed to do. Then you move forward.
Yeah.
You fire, everything stops. You fire your ball, it does what it's supposed to do, then you move forward. Really takes a long time to play with that method.
Yeah.
So I put the tactician in there, who plays the game by himself.
Let him deal
pair
that.
Him up with him, and like, you do that. I'll go off and like...
For half an hour, do something else.
Empty the dishwasher, or put in a load of laundry, whatever. I'm going to step away while you finish this.
Yeah.
Or I'll just go browse the internet while it's playing. So, yeah, I used him a lot in that regard, but never more than to just get that other guy through, because I absolutely love playing with all the other characters.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun. My favorite characters right now, with some of the combinations you can get, are, I can't remember their names. It's the couple, it's the two people, whatever they're called.
The cohabitants.
The cohabitants, yes. And... I got to have them in front of me, and I know you've got your Steam Deck with you, but I've got to have them in front of me to know which one it is. It's another one that goes well with that one, like pairs very well with their special ability.
Yeah,
both of theirs going together, and I can't remember what the name of it is. But eventually, you have a bunch of baby balls going all over the place.
Was it the mummy one?
It's not the mummy. It's dang it, I don't know. I'm going to have to look at characters.
Yeah.
Ball pit characters to tell you.
But I've been, like, you find certain characters that their traits sort of mesh well with.
Oh, they absolutely. Yeah. Especially when you can evolve their balls.
Yes.
I know this is weird to talk about, but when you can evolve their balls into almost... Have you unlocked all of your passives? In other words, have
not
you...
Not all the passives. I'm still missing...
But I'm talking about...
Three.
So I know you've got the one where you can take two characters in a level.
That way I have.
Do you have the one where... Okay, so you have all the buildings?
Yes.
Are you sure? Because I think you get more buildings in the next level.
Oh, well, I don't have any more question marks in the building aspect. I have all the characters. When I start, I have five slots for balls.
Mm-hmm.
They all start on level 3.
Okay, well, you're good. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Because which is nice, because then automatically you're evolving.
You can get an evolution very quickly.
Yes.
Which is why I pick the two people I pick, because theirs evolves into whatever the thing evolves into. I haven't looked it up yet. But anyway.
I've been doing the lightning and the light, which evolves into flash.
Yes.
Which affects everybody.
Yep.
And then also doing the overgrown.
Okay.
And evolving.
You're on the right track.
Fusing that together. Then it just flashes. It just wipes the whole board.
If you can do that, and you can pick as a passive the fountain...
Yes, you just hit the fountain.
That's it.
And just
And it's
just back, like,
boom, 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 boom. You're clearing fields like nothing, and you're just getting bonus after bonus after bonus after bonus.
I've also done like evolve up to the nuke, and then fuse it with the dark, which ups the power. And I'm just like lobbing those.
Uh-huh. I've done nuke and shotgun.
Oh wow!
Nuke and shotgun, or nuke and laser.
Yeah.
Nuke and
Laser. I haven't tried the Nuke and Laser yet.
What you really want to try, and I've seen these, is the Mosquito Swarm.
Yeah.
With Nuke.
Oh, wow. Or Maggot, too, because Maggot also...
Maggot does that, but Mosquito Swarm and Laser or Mosquito... It depends on what you... It depends on the kind of flare you're going for.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to see everything destroyed. Sometimes I want a light show. Yeah. If I want everything destroyed, I mix my Mosquito Swarm with my nukes.
Yeah,
if I
laser,
want
the
a light
laser,
show...
Especially?
Any of the lasers.
Yeah.
You can go with the green laser, the freeze laser, the holy laser. Well, not the holy laser. But you could do that, I guess, if you wanted to.
Yeah, because that's just up. That's just vertical and horizontal.
It is, but I think you, you could probably do that. But I usually go with whatever that green is.
Oh, like the I can't remember the radiation.
The radiation, yeah. Radiation beam or freeze beam with the Mosquito Swarm, and it is seizure-inducing almost.
Nice.
The way it just fills the screen with flashes of light.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool. So I'm really glad you're enjoying it. I know you're close to the end.
I know, like, starting out, one of the ones that I didn't like, but I've kind of gotten a little bit better on, was the one that shoots from the back of the screen towards you.
Right.
Because with that one...
You get your balls behind everybody.
Behind
it's very
everybody.
Tough.
And if they start advancing on you, and they get you're like, you have to go through waves and waves and waves to get to the people close to you.
Mm-hmm.
That one can be tricky.
Trying to remember the best pairing for that one is there's one of the other characters, while the balls shoot from the back, there's another of the other characters that says that once balls reach the back of the screen, they immediately return to you.
Yeah.
Combine those, and you don't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of combinations you can go with, man. And the more you level yourself up, which you do every time you play... the easier all of this becomes, until, of course, you beat the game and go into New Game Plus.
New Game Plus, then the Fast, and the Fast Fat. Yeah,
right. I've been doing a couple of those. Once I finished the game and got 100% on the achievements, I just started going back and trying to see how fast I could do things, trying to see, you know, there's a leaderboard so I could see, so I could get better times and better scores. I kind of treated it as a... let's see how good I can be at this. Rather than, like, let's finish the game. Now it's like, let's see how good I can beat this thing or do what I have to do with it. So, yeah, that's what I've been working on there. What else have you been playing, though? I mean, Ball Pit's great. I would talk about it for another hour. But what else do you have that you've been playing that you've enjoyed?
That I've enjoyed? You know, like going back through a little bit of, like, you know, like I said, picked up Outlaws.
Right.
You know, just enjoying that one just for the fun of, you know, those
old... Never did play that.
It was the first Western first-person shooter.
I know, and I like what I've seen of it. I keep forgetting, first off, that it's there.
Yeah.
When you look at your Steam list, Steve may know this.
It's the first time you really had to load a gun
massive.
And reload a gun.
Like, really?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, before that, everything you just shoot. You know, this one, you have your six, you know, shooter, and you run out of bullets. You had to reload in the middle of a firefight. It was crazy back then. You're like, oh, what am
is
I
it just a button press to reload, or is it there's some kind of special thing?
No, just you hit a button.
Okay.
But, like, that was new back then. That was, you know, back in my day.
Well,
you know.
I don't know. I can't remember a game where I didn't have to reload.
Well, I mean, before that, Doom.
Well, you're right. You don't reload, but you do have to pick up ammo.
Yeah, you pick up ammo, but like, if you have like 100-some-odd rounds...
You never reload
the whole gun.
It's true.
Now, this, like, you could have like 100 rounds, but once you get through those six...
You got to put six more in.
You got to put six more in.
Can you put less than six? Can you get the... Okay, so it's an animation that goes through, and as soon as you need to fire again, you just got three or two or however many you put in.
Kind of a loose term to use for that, because this is like really, it just sort of like flips open really quick and everything. It's not like he's actually like snapping bullets in.
Okay.
You have to remember, this is like, you know, like 96, 97.
True, but I know they remastered it, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
But,
just enjoy that. And that, just playing the game of life, man.
Did you ever jump into Clair Obscur?
No.
Okay.
I've heard great things about it.
Yeah. And I'm not I'm not that kind of guy that plays those type of games.
They
do not really appeal to me, but they made it work. They made it worth getting through just to move that story. It was really good. We talked about it, I think, last week, just because of all the awards it had. But, yeah, really good. Really good game, if you get a chance to check that out.
Yeah.
So, and as for me, I've just absolutely played it. Nothing. Some Spider-Man 2 I've worked on, but
okay.
That's about it.
That was a fun one. I remember going through all of that.
I am at the point where basically Pete just got
the suit,
the symbiote suit. Yeah.
All right.
Just got that and got those abilities. That's how far into the game I'm at.
Okay.
Not very far.
Oh, and Spider-Man?
Yeah. And Spider-Man 2, yeah.
So
I am
good.
I'm looking forward to Wolverine.
Whenever it decides to release,
yeah.
You know?
The game that I am looking forward to, First Light. 007.
Oh, yeah.
From the makers, you know, from the dudes that did Hitman.
Mm. By the way, I want to say Criterion worked on the car segments of that, I believe.
They did.
Yeah.
From, you know, yeah.
God, Criterion, that, man.
They released a new trailer during the awards, didn't they?
They did. It was like a gameplay trailer.
I thought it was the Kravitz. Wasn't it the Kravitz trailer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Lenny Kravitz trailer?
Yeah.
To show off his character?
Did that do anything for you guys, the trailer?
The new one, I didn't
watch it.
I don't remember that one. I know Lenny came out on stage. I don't remember that one. But the gameplay demo they showed months ago.
Yeah.
Where it's just a section of the game that takes place. It shows the stealth. Then it shows the car chase. Which was just event after event after event. What are they called?
Set pieces.
Set piece after set piece after set piece after set piece. Gave me a very Uncharted vibe with the set piece type stuff. I'm not saying that it felt Uncharted. I'm saying it's like they're going in a very cinematic direction. Which, where else would you go with a Bond game, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt when I watched it. And like, even watching the new trailer that they released, or the gameplay trailer, whatever you call it, the art style is very Uncharted. Like, it's very apparent that you're playing a video game, like, as you're watching it, right? Like, it's got this almost cartoony shine to it.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason. Like, I'm just seeing what I'm seeing, but it's almost like that they went for gameplay over, you know, realism, which is something that Bond has been like trying to get out of for a while, because Bond is very silly, right? It's very cheesy. Like, it's always been that.
What era Bond you grew up with?
Well, I mean, we can all blame Chris Nolan for like the gritty realism trends in Hollywood and like what they did with Daniel Craig's Bond, but like, if you grew up with Pierce Brosnan or anything before that, like, it was a very cheesy, but like, it's very goofy.
Brosnan was cheesy as hell.
I mean, he was nothing compared to the vaudeville show of Roger Moore.
Still. Well,
all that stuff. Roger Moore, Sean Connery,
can't forget him.
Tim Dalton.
Oh, like, really? We're going to throw in Tim. Okay.
Tim Dalton, actually, I think to me was one of the more like the written Bond.
For his two film stints.
For his two films, yes.
Yeah.
It's actually one of my favorite.
I do like those.
What is it? License to Kill?
Yeah.
I think. That was one of my favorite Bonds.
Yeah, License to Kill and.
First off, I just loved him anyway. Love him. I loved him in.
Hot Fuzz?
Well, not Hot Fuzz. I was going to say Rocketeer, but also Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
Have you ever seen Doom Patrol? It's a series on, I think it's on HBO Max, DC Comics series.
Yeah.
God, he's fantastic. I really liked him in the Gotham.
Flash Gordon.
Brendan Fraser, right?
Brendan Fraser's in that as well. Yeah, Brendan Fraser's fantastic in that. Wonderful in that, to be honest with you. We're going off on topic here, and I know it, and
end of the year, right?
Whatever. If you haven't listened before, this is what you can expect. But if you have, you know exactly what I'm doing. The fact that season one of Doom Patrol is the most comic booky thing since probably seasons 2, 3, and 4 of that series, where they went in some directions where I thought, this is ridiculous, but they made it work with the writing and the way that they handled that stuff. I was like, I know what I'm seeing here looks absolutely crazy ridiculous, and I would love to tell you what I'm seeing, but due to probably standards, I can't say.
All right.
Basically, well, I guess I could. At some point in the series, a bunch of butts, and I mean butts, with legs, start chasing everybody around trying to eat them.
Yeah, why not?
It's the craziest, stupidest thing you've ever seen. But for some reason, the writing and the way that they handled that really worked.
Okay.
It was unbelievably how crazy it is.
You could come up with a crazy idea, but if you write your way to it being logical, then
God, It's really good. It's really, really good. And Timothy's in it, and he's fantastic. But anyway, moving on. Because we don't have much too much time left. So First Light, you're kind of like what?
I'm there.
I'm not.
I am 100.
I mean, I am there to play it.
The cartoony gameplay is because I'm happy they're going back to not. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be cheesy or not, but it looks like it's going to be, you know, Bond and his regular, you know, his Bond-ness? Original form.
Yeah,
his Bondness.
His Bondness. It's not something that I'm going to probably pick up day one. Like if it's on a Game Pass thing, that I'm there. But
I know people say whatever you say what you will about, you know, pre-order. I've already pre-ordered it.
You can pre-order if you want to. It's your money. You do what you want with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going
to
give you
number one
on
Hitman. I love the World of Tomorrow. That is, I mean, like I have so many hours in that game.
Right.
It is such a fantastic game. It to me, it's fantastic. I love it.
I know you love that.
I'll go through there and I'll just try new things out and just. And to have a Bond, which I grew up on. I have like all the series. When I was in basic training, I got to leave Lackland Air Base for Thanksgiving, and what I did is I went to go see Die Another Day. On my one day offside of the base, I went to go see a Bond movie, because that's who I am.
Okay.
You know?
There's no shame in that, my friend. I'm not shaming you on that.
I was watching the 20th Bond film, and I wasn't getting yelled at. It was a perfect day.
That is perfectly fine. Go for it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, so I'm a big Bond fan. I've been to Piz Gloria up in Switzerland. I've been to some of the sites in Jamaica. I kind of want to dive the wreckage of Thunderball, the plane that crashed in Thunderball. You could dive that.
Yeah.
I like Bond.
Okay, then.
Bond, it reminds me of that Die Another Day, just because you brought it up. That's the one where he surfs
windboard,
right?
It's
one of the worst special effects shots, I think,
it's
in Hollywood history.
It's horrible. It's so bad.
It's very bad.
That's like pre-Lord of the Rings, and it still looks terrible.
It really looks terrible, man.
Bring up Lord of the Rings as like the gauge for CGI, but like 90% of that film was practical effects.
Sometimes I can't even tell.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
It was.
They did very well.
Perspective, like when you're talking about the difference, you know. But that scene in Die Another Day, like that takes you out of it. It's like, okay, like what? First of all, you know, I think did they create like a tidal wave from an explosion and then he surfs on it? Is that what?
Yeah, from what I remember.
Okay. Yeah. This is burned into my memory forever.
We're at the top of the hour now, so we'll put a cap on that conversation and likely not come back to it. But we'll jump into, I don't know, anything else you guys want to talk about. I collected some news. You know, what do we have? We have lists, right? So we got the 50 best games of this year from this is from Polygon, but we also have this says the 176 video games that only sold one copy in 2025.
One copy.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea how that works. But all right. I was hoping we'd have another list that says these are the worst video games of the year. Also, the Steam sale is going on. I don't know if you guys are kind of keeping an eye on some prices there. To see if you want to pick something like that up.
My library is so huge that there's so many games I need to play.
Has anybody bought any RAM lately?
I'm in the market. I'm about to.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know.
You might as well do it now before it gets even worse.
Not looking good.
Okay. Well, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a bit. We have music here from a video game based on The Polar Express. I know. But that train sequence is actually really, really good. Anyway. Mm-hmm. This is Christmas Lights. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. That is music from Monster Hunter World. It says Winter Star something because it cuts off on the thing. I don't know. It says Winter Star. We'll just say that that's what it is. So, anyway, welcome back to the show. We got Matt in here with the studio with us, and we've also got Steve on Discord hanging out. So, I don't know. There's this list here. 50 best games of 2025, according to Polygon, which I'm like, eh, right, whatever. We'll start with 50, Ghost of Yote.
Okay. Well, that... All right. Sure.
There's... Number 49 is a game called Strange Jigsaws.
That beat Ghost of Yote?
Apparently. Strange Jigsaws...
I'm just playing the rest of the countdown.
Strange Jigsaws is built around the idea that difficulty is personal, but the rush of an epiphany is a universal thrill. Developer Fleb, a student of puzzle making and mystery hunts, starts players off with one puzzle before opening up into another, then another, then another. Down and down you go in the inception of Jigsaws.
Hmm.
And reminders that this could only exist in the confines of a video game space, though it is all very playful. Dad energy absurdity where jokes aren't just flavor, but the spark that often becomes the puzzle itself. Gamers are often conflate outstanding directing with AAA cinematics. But across the few hours it takes to play Strange Jigsaws, Fleb establishes himself as a fresh voice and visionary.
Okay.
I like puzzles. I like puzzles. And I'm kind of curious about that. Strange Jigsaws. Okay. I will remember that.
And you wouldn't have known it without this list.
I know, right? Well, okay. Again, you're going to say this a lot. Now that number 50 was Ghost of Yote.
Yeah.
Pretty much weird games on this list.
Great game.
Pretty much every other thing that I pick is going to be, how did that beat Ghost of Yote from you?
Sure.
So this next one is called Blippo Plus.
That beat Ghost of Yote?
Yeah, I know, exactly. I don't know what Blippo Plus is. It says, have you ever gone to another country and watched local TV?
Oh, yeah.
It's a fascinating cultural experience.
It's
passive observation becomes something of a meta puzzle as you try to piece together all the quirks of a foreign culture through news broadcasts and public access shows. Blippo Plus recreates that experience in astonishing fashion.
Okay.
It was originally built for the Playdate and later released on Windows PC. It's less of a game and more of a channel surfing simulator. Okay. Number 47 is Ark Raiders.
I haven't played it. I know everyone is.
I know. I'm kind of on the verge. Like,
I've seen some sales that have kind of pushed me real close.
Yeah, because it's cheaper than like what I spent on Helldivers now. And you know, my gaming group is trying to contemplate whether this is going to be our next game or not.
Okay.
Number 46, Is This Seat Taken? It's another puzzle game.
Okay.
Where you have a certain amount of seats and a certain amount of people, and those people have very specific needs with where they want to sit, and you have to place them all in the correct places.
This stuff kind of reminds me a little bit of like the games I played growing up before we had AAA games and stuff like that. We would have stuff like that. That like, all right, yeah, I could see that.
I mean, if they can tap into that sort of childhood that you're talking about, then there's
things were simpler back
gold
then.
In them there hills is what I'm saying. People will jump on that. Nostalgia kicks are huge, man.
You know
that.
Wait, what?
Mr. Nostalgia himself. Number 45, Digimon Storytime Stranger. I don't do the Digimon stuff, so I have no idea.
I think the kids like them.
Number 44, Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time.
Huh.
I'm not sure about that one.
Meh.
Here's one that I bought earlier this year and have only played once, but number 43 is Nubby's Number Factory. It's cheap, man.
Yeah.
$3, and it looks cheap, too. But apparently there's some gameplay that's behind there. I need to get back into that because I played just a little bit of it. I'll read you the description here. It's time to clock in for work at the number factory where your job is to make increasingly large numbers. Oh, and if you fail, the sun explodes. This
No pressure.
This hilarious hyperbolic consequence perfectly encapsulates the essence of Nubby's Number Factory, which looks like a blend of pachinko and an old-school flash game.
So do you have to math?
I don't think so. It's one of the most unique games centered around making a big number get even bigger, a genre some have begun calling Balatro-likes.
Like some of them begun.
Some of them begun. it's made by one developer.
You know what? Yeah, sure.
Which is exactly how Balatro was done.
Stardew Valley.
Same with Stardew Valley, exactly. Number 43 is Tokyo Extreme Racer.
Kevin's playing that one.
Is he?
Yes.
God, how's Kevin? I haven't talked to Kevin in forever.
I haven't talked to him in a while either. I just life and busy and everything. Man. But like we every now and then we get on together and like
I know. I'm gonna get Kevin back on the show for a bit.
Yeah, he's been doing that one a lot.
Number 41, Story of Seasons, Grand Bazaar.
I've heard of that, at least.
I've heard the Story of Seasons, but I've never played them. Number 40 is Consume Me.
I'm just going to raise my eyebrow at that.
It's a story about eating disorders.
Oh. Well, maybe I should play that.
It chronicles the life of a teen girl who is hyper-aware of her body thanks to the pressures of society that value small waistlines.
You know what? I love my parents, but I think they gave me an eating disorder when I was growing up, as most people my age have. If you don't finish, you know, you got to eat everything on your plate, or else, you know, there's starving kids somewhere in some other country and blah, blah, blah. And, like, to this day, I have to, like, you got to have that happy plate. And, like, I eat way too much. I need smaller portions.
This says it's one part.
If you can help people with, like, eating disorders or recognizing it or, you know, coping with it, yeah, that's great.
For all its food Tetris mini games and calorie counting strategy.
Strategy indeed.
Consume Me doesn't set out to be a health class PSA. More broadly, it's a coming-of-age story about a life defined by obsessions. The fictional version of Jenny is pulled in multiple directions as her priorities keep changing as she grows. Sometimes food is the most important thing in her life. Other times, it's her boyfriend. It's even God for one brief phase. The boldest thing about Consume Me is that it refuses to let players put it into a box. Our biographies don't need to be solely defined by our lowest moments. That's an I would not have known about this.
I like that.
I'm very down to look into this. I would never have known outside of this. I'm curious if there's not like a PS, like, listen, if you struggled with this, this may not be something you want to revisit or, you know, look into.
I mean, like, I know, like, especially after retirement, you know, from the military, like, I've let my weight go. Because I'm not exercising as much. I'm not, like, you know, doing all the stuff I had to, you know, to keep in shape for, you know, military service. But like,
right.
I am the heaviest I've ever been in my life. But I'm working on that to, you know, try and get back to where I feel comfortable in my skin.
Good.
And that's tough for a lot of people.
Of course.
A lot of people.
A little sneeze coming on, excuse me.
I love to eat. I love to cook. We said earlier, I first time baking those cookies. I'm not a baker. I'm a cook. To me, cooking is like jazz. You could like improvise. You could go. You could like all these things. You could just like, you know, throw them together.
You don't have to follow the. You don't have to follow the ingredients. Nope.
Baking is prog rock.
Yeah,
it's very technical, very precise, very
right.
And you just can't improvise. You can't be like, oh, I'm out of baking soda. Let me throw in baking powder. No, you can't do that. So that's how I view the two. I love to cook because I love to eat. But that's how I've dealt with a lot of. Issues in my life is just eating them, you know.
Oh well, yeah,
as a lot of people do. So I don't know if they could draw awareness. That's what I love about games. It's like they could put awareness in your brain that you may not have thought about, or just like, you know, shine a light so you don't feel like, man, am I the only one that feels this way? Or like, you know, like, yeah,
it's rare that they do.
Yeah,
but when they do it very well.
Do it well, there's some really great story games out there that touch on things.
Number 39 is a game called Repo.
Okay,
survival horror.
Oh, okay. It's not like you're trying. Oh, yeah, I've seen it on Steam. Like the
yeah.
You're not
number 38 is Dispatch.
Okay, that's the superhero one.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that one. I played the demo and it was very quick.
Okay,
but I'm really curious about it. Steve, any interest?
You haven't hit anything yet that really I'd be like, oh, I'd love to try this.
Not
so
Ghost of Yotai?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, Ark Raiders is the closest thing, and even that is, like, really so far on the outskirts that I don't know.
I'll be quick with these next few because I don't recognize them at all. Number 37 is Promise Mascot Agency. I don't know. Mm. Number 36 is Shinobi Art of Vengeance.
Okay, I remember this.
Shinobi series. Rings a bell.
Yeah.
History with.
Number 35, Clover Pit. Any of you play that?
Cloverfield?
Sounds
Clover Pit.
Nope.
Okay. Something to look into because I have played it.
Okay.
And it was my in-between of waiting for Ball Pit to release.
Gotcha.
Because it's you in like a dingy, dungy basement with a slot machine. mm-hmm. and you have a certain amount of money that you have to be able to win from the slot machine in order to advance. Otherwise, you die. So every round, you get to pick a modifier from a selection of different modifiers that do a bunch of different things. And you get to pick those, and you keep trying to build your bank up higher and higher and higher. And there's a lot of... I still have not, like, peeled all the layers of this thing.
Okay.
There's a lot to go with it. But I really, really liked it, and I really need to go back to it. Because when Ball Pit came out, I absolutely stopped playing Clover Pit. I got to one of the endings of Clover Pit that I thought I was supposed to get to. But the more I read it, I'm like, yeah, that's one that you can do. But there's a whole bunch of other things that you can do by skipping that. And so... Yeah, it's interesting. You should look into it. Let's see. This is something that I heard a lot of forum chatter about for number 34. There was a demo. I never got to play it. It is called Trails in the Sky, First Chapter. It's a remake.
RPG?
I believe it is. It's a remake. It says, even though it's a remake, it doesn't preclude it from being a premium RPG experience. Beautifully crafted storylines, mesmerizing world building, remarkable character design, updated visuals, and a revamped battle system make a beloved tale more approachable than ever. Let's see. Number 33, also something I'm interested in. The Root Trees Are Dead. Whether it's a modern movie like Knives Out or an older TV show like Murder, She Wrote, few joys are higher than tracking the clues for a good old whodunit. And that's what you get out of The Root Trees Are Dead.
Oh, I do like that.
I do. Like, I do. I know. I'm there. Here's another one that I have played and need to play more of, and I really love, the concept of what it is. Number 32 is The Altars.
Okay.
Any idea of what I'm talking about here?
Nope.
No.
So many of these I have not heard of.
First off, it's beautiful, and you don't need a massive machine to actually make it look that way. It's really well done, well optimized.
Okay.
Anyway, you play as a science researcher on a ship that has crash landed on a planet somewhere. You're the only survivor, and you've got such and such amount of time before the sun rises and kills you. The sun will kill you on this planet. And so you have to gather resources so that you can move your base away from the sun. Your base is this giant wheel. And within the wheel are all of your offices and everything else. And you have management to where you can place different buildings in different sections. Kind of looks like, what was that Fallout game where you built your vault?
Shelter.
Fallout Shelter, yeah. So there's that aspect of it. The other aspect of it is you yourself, because you can't do all of this by yourself. There happens to be a cloning machine on the ship. When you collect enough resources, you can clone yourself. When you do that, you go through the timeline of your character's life, and there are certain points in that life that you will create that character from.
Okay.
And that character has memories and experiences up to that point that you share, but then it veers off. So, like, where you didn't go to mechanics school, you went to law school. This guy skipped law school, went to mechanics school, and can now repair your ship. Then there's other aspects from where your mother died, or that you went on a date with this woman, but you proposed or you didn't propose. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
To where you have all these different massive amounts of you with different experiences. And so then it becomes a sense where you've got to talk to them and lead the conversation to where they like you so that you can get them to work for you to do stuff. You also have to feed them. You also have to, tell them to sleep and do all this other stuff. It's a very resource management thing. And somehow I really loved it.
Okay.
So anyway, Altars, look at that. Take a look. Number 37, Pokemon Legends Z through A. I don't know. I don't play Pokemon.
No.
Number 30 is Keep Driving. That was a fun little... I don't know if it's an RPG or not, but it's just you. It's pixelated. You're in a car.
And you keep driving?
You're taking a road trip. Yeah.
Okay.
Number 29, Mafia, The Old Country.
I did like that one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I played through and beat that one.
That's something
I played the original. That's about it.
I actually went through, started with Mafia 1 Remake, then did 2. Then
did you do 3? I know you played 3. I played 3, but did you go back and play 3?
I didn't finish it.
Because that's one I would skip.
Yeah.
One and two are great.
One and two were great. I know there's stuff in three that references two and...
Yeah. But three, they just expanded it so much that I got lost in the weeds of like, here's a bunch of crap to do that's not storyline specific. Yeah. And so, I didn't like
but
that.
But then I did play Old Country and I really enjoyed it.
Number 28, Sword of the Sea. Anybody?
I've heard of it, but
No. Number 27, The Outer Worlds 2.
I like the first one.
Yeah. Did you jump on two or just did you play two or one or what did you play, Duke? Steve?
I just played the first one and I never finished it. It's been something that's been on my list to get through, this is like a situation, same deal, like Dishonored came out, right? And it took me a while to play through it and I played through it and the sequel came out and I'm like, I would like to someday.
But you just, you know, had that experience, you didn't want to just rush back into it?
Yeah, it was more like I kind of got what I got out of the first game. What else could the sequel do other than,
Number 26, Ball Pit.
Yay! Love it.
All right, so hey, I did buy this, by the way, during the Steam sale.
Oh, okay.
Wait, just like right now or just recently or when?
The day it started. This was on my I think I bought it. Hold on. I have to now talk to confirm that. Yeah, I bought it.
Wow.
But, I bought it off your recommendation, so this is going to be my Steam game.
So, okay. I really hope you like it, man. If you like Vampire Survivors or that sort of thing, you're going to enjoy this.
When I first started playing it, I didn't know that you could right bumper to go to different panes when you're trying to build stuff or for your characters. I was like, all right, well, I got the wheat and I got the trees and it says I unlock characters, but I don't know how to do it. It just clicked on me look up at the corner, it says right bumper, and then you have other sections of buildings and that's how you get your characters.
You have to build their houses in order to get the characters.
I had gone through
and you don't unlock the blueprints until you play levels.
Like several blueprints by the time I realized that. And I'm let me go ahead and just go ahead and do that now.
Well, I felt
dumb.
When we come back in 2 weeks, Steve, I want to report on Ball Pit.
Yes.
Pleasure that.
Number 25, Split Fiction.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's the folks that did It Takes Two and Tale of Two Brothers or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And Way Out, I think was the other one. It's the co-op company.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Number 24, Megabonk. Didn't play Megabonk?
That sounds like a TurboGrafx-16 game, if you ask me.
It does. It looks worse.
Oh.
That's okay, because that's the style it's going
Sometimes
for.
Pixel art and retro stuff is good.
Megabonk, and I've described it this way, Megabonk is a third-person Vampire Survivors.
Okay.
In other words, you can move around, but it's all the enemies are coming towards you, and you can move through that, but it's in third person. So instead of top-down, it's over-the-shoulder type stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Number 23, Tiny Bookshop.
Sounds cute.
It sounds self-explanatory. Number 22, Death Stranding 2.
Okay.
I haven't played it.
I got to be honest, I didn't even know the sequel was out.
I tried
came
the
back.
First
it was
one.
Out in June, man.
Yeah.
Oh man!
I tried the first one, and Kojima is just—isn't
he?
He's a weird dude.
He is a weird dude
making weird games.
Yep.
Number 21 is a game called And Roger. And Roger is a kind of artful storytelling that can only exist as a video game. It isn't just the story of someone dealing with dementia.
Oh,
And Roger wants you to understand what everyone involved in the process feels, and to do it takes creative swings with the basics. Things as simple as readable interface or practical input methods. The opening segment won't let you type your name. The button that lets you forge ahead doesn't work. Text boxes and pieces of gibberish cobbled together from sources completely irrelevant to the task at hand. It's meant to imitate the dozens of cognitive tests given to those who suffer dementia, but also the sense of bewildered frustration that comes with it, of being trapped in a world you recognize but no longer comprehend. So this would go back to your whole thing with the Consume Me game. Something that shines a light on a part of life that people sometimes have to deal with, and something that you may never have to deal with or experience, or maybe you will. And I don't know if it prepares you for that, but at least it gives you a better understanding of it. Number 20 is Two Point Museum, which is the museum, it's the 2-point hospital, 2-point university, 2-point museum. It's all this, like, you build a museum, you place workers in it, you build exhibits. It's that sort of thing. Number 19, Mario Kart World.
Okay.
For Switch 2.
That's about right.
Yep. Number 18 is Umamusume Pretty Derby.
Okay.
Sure.
It's the one
Let's
where,
go with that.
It's the one where all the girls race on a horse track.
Sure.
Okay.
It's huge. It's been really well received. Number 17, right. Donkey Kong Bonanza for the Switch 2.
Donkey Kong game, yeah. I don't have a Switch 2, so no.
This one I
have an unopened Switch 2 that I need to open.
You and me both, my friend. I bought it at launch. It is still in the packaging. I bought a GameCube controller with it, still in the packaging.
I bought 4 game controllers with it, like pros. So I don't know. Like I think I anticipated there being more excitement in this house for it than it actually ended up being.
Now we're in the same boat, my friend. Number 16 is a game called Ooh, I guess it's 3 O's with one that has an umlaut over it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know. They say it's in the same vein as Celeste and that game called VVVVVV, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And Box Boy, by the way. Number 15, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
I picked that and the first one up on a sale, and I started the first one, and it's interesting.
It is. It's
very historical.
Very sim-like in the historics, yes.
Very big on, like, you know, I'm like, hey, wait, Wenceslas. And like, oh, yeah, this is a lot of European history right
mm-hmm.
here.
Number 14, a game called Peak.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge trend this year. I'm not surprised to see that.
Yeah,
I actually would have thought that would be in the top 10.
Yeah, it's the co-op climbing game. Number 13, oh, God, I need to pick this up. Is it Lumines? Luminous? It's Luminous, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah, Luminous Arise, the recent version of that title that I played for the very first time on, like, I think it was my PSP.
Oh, wow.
Way back when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 12, Elden Ring Night Rain.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 11, The 100 Line at Last Defense Academy. I don't know what that is. Number 10, Baby Steps.
Sure. That's another one, like, Peak.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, it's just a climb.
Number 9, Silent Hill F.
Okay.
Or Fugue, I believe, maybe is what that's saying. The thing looks like
that. It
looks like that to me, but maybe it's not. Number 8, Hollow Knight Silk Song.
Okay, Hollow Knight game, yeah.
Number 7, Kirby Air Riders.
More Switch 2, I'm assuming.
Now, here's a neat one at number 6.
I can't believe Kirby beat Mario Kart.
Yeah, I guess it did. Well, Mario Kart World was more of it's Mario Kart.
Yeah, it's Mario
We just
Kart.
Added a couple more places or little areas and kind of open world it a little bit.
Yeah, Mario Kart.
Yeah. Number 6, which is very surprising because now I'm curious as to what number 1 was going to be. Number 6 is Claire Obscure, Expedition 33.
Okay.
Number 5, Avowed.
Avowed,
did you play that?
I didn't play it, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, it was on Game Pass, so I played it. I played the hell out of that game.
Yeah.
And I still didn't finish it because I had to go through every corner of the map to reveal everything that I could. And it took so long to do. I think I got to the third map, and I was just like, I'm kind of tired. I'm kind of tired of playing this. Yeah. I really am. Number 4, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Yay! Love it. Absolutely love it.
Number 3, Despelote.
It belongs in the museum.
I think is the name of that. Despelote.
It takes
just 2 hours to play, but in that brief span of time, you get a universal memoir about childhood obsession. An on-the-ground documentary about the nation of Ecuador during a moment of both hope and crisis. A metafictional exploration of the creative process. And last but definitely not least, the best first-person soccer control scheme ever devised. This breathtaking gem of an indie, and is played from his perspective, the creator, as a soccer-mad young boy during Ecuador's qualifying run for the 2002 World Cup.
Oh, geez. Okay. You know what? I love that indie games are getting such love on this list.
I added this to my wish list. It's overwhelmingly positive on Steam.
Yeah.
Indie games will be our savior, to be honest with you. I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
Given the skyrocketing cost of video games now. Number two is Hades 2.
Okay.
Yep, makes sense.
Number one, what do you think it's going to be? You have no idea.
I have no idea.
But you've played it.
Oh, but I've played it.
You've played it.
I'm trying to think of a... It's not AC Shadows, is it?
It is not an AC game. You got to go more independent.
More independent?
Yeah. An indie title.
I'm trying to think of indie titles I've played, but I'm drawing a blank.
It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle game.
What's the genre?
Is it... No, that was that one this year.
What?
I was thinking of Dave the Diver.
It's not Dave the Diver. It's Blueprints.
Blueprints. Oh, yes. Yeah. I played the snot out of that game. I liked it. That, okay. Yeah. Number one. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a... Did you try it?
Man. Yes, I did.
It gets into you.
I played it once.
Oh, just once?
Yep. I played it once.
Yeah?
Ended up painting myself into a corner. And for whatever reason and for whatever I was doing, I said,
I'm done with this.
This annoys me.
Okay. It took me a couple of days in game, not like our days, but like, you know, game days to like kind of get the hang of it. And then once I started to do that and like started to understand,
yeah,
then I'm like, oh yeah, I
see. I'll eventually go back to it because I've heard that, because that's the thing. I'm like, there's a,
you've got
a,
it doesn't hold your hand.
There's it's a just, hook here, and yes. I haven't found that hook yet.
Yes,
it's like there's a couple of games that have done that for me, and I can't remember which they are, but there are games that I will play, and I'm like, and I'm just not feeling it.
The puzzle of it, and the story of it, and the background, and just everything. I think you would really dig it.
I mean, I did. I played it once. I got to this room, you know, that had a telescope in it, and it took me forever to figure out how to do it. And by the time I figured it out, I had wasted so much whatever that, and then I continued on.
I mean, like, there is time, you know, time does tick in it, but like it's more your steps walking in and out of rooms.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, that kind of that weird resource management of like, how many steps do I need? Oh, look, I could use this to get more steps, or I could, you know, there's a lot to that game. And yeah, and when you unlock, you know, because like, you know, when you get to the antechamber, you know, like your grandpa said, you know, and you unlock that, that's not even the end of it. That just opens up a whole new section of like, oh, there's more to this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to this.
Okay. Well,
I'm trying to remember the other game that I'm afraid to play this because of exactly what you described, like the hook and trying to... There was another game that came out a while ago like that. It was hugely puzzle-driven, and it took me a while to kind of get sucked into it, and I'm blanking on the name right now. But it had, like, gorgeous... like landscapes, and like you go to these different areas to try to solve the puzzles.
It's not The Witness, is it?
It is The Witness. Yes,
oh,
it
God,
is.
You picked a Jonathan Blow game.
yeah.
Which I got, whatever I want to say about Jonathan Blow, the guy can make a puzzle game and can make an absurdly difficult puzzle game.
Yeah.
That is a game, and I talked about it with RJ on this, I think it was last episode, because he had, at the Video Game Awards, he announced his new game.
Okay.
Like the Chronicles of Star or something like that. I can't remember. Beneath the something of Star. I can't remember what it's called. And it's got like 1,000 puzzles in his new game. Anyway, I talked about The Witness, and I talked about how I really enjoyed The Witness until the puzzles got so frustratingly difficult that I picked up a walkthrough.
Yeah.
And said, I do not care that I am having these puzzles solved for me. I just want to get to the end of this. And looking at the walkthrough with some of the solutions to those puzzles, it's like, yeah, I'm pretty glad I picked this path to go, because this is, I would have...
Sometimes moon logic in puzzles games just frustrates me.
God.
Yeah, you have to be in the right mindset to do that, but there's a lot of frustration, I remember, with The Witness, and I never finished it. It got to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm exhausted, so I'm going to move on.
Yeah, Witness is one of those games that will fry your brain. So much so that he has an Easter egg in there that is it's like a video of him in sort of this first-person mode that you don't play it. It's just something you watch, and it's just him devising all these things. And then he starts to see his puzzle in everyday space, where everything he looks at is a puzzle that he could design. Hmm. Like, his brain is slowly deteriorating into just designing these point A to point B puzzles that he was working on. And you kind of get that sense and that feeling, especially after you go through as many as there are, to where everything can be a puzzle if you are crazy enough to turn it into one.
Yeah.
So we got to take a break. We're way behind here. We're not going to have too much when we come back, too much time when we come back. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a moment. I didn't have time to pick another song for this one, but it is music from Destiny. But luckily, it is their Christmas stuff that they did. It's called The Dawning. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. During the break, me and Matt were swapping baking recipes. You laugh, but we were kind of going over that.
I never thought that would be something that I do.
We were going over that, like, okay. You said you wrote a note down. You wanted to talk about something.
I did. So one of the things I forgot to mention that I played, I backed a game on Kickstarter about a year and a half or so ago.
Sounds about right with Kickstarter,
It does.
Actually, that's sooner than I would think from a Kickstarter.
It may have been longer than that.
I was going to say, most of what I back is taking like a long time.
Yeah, it takes a minute. But it was a remastered version of The Broken Sword, or I guess if you're on consoles back in the PlayStation 1 area, it was Circle of Blood.
Familiar at all with
The Broken Sword series? They've had several.
Broken Sword sounds familiar, yes. But I'm also getting confused with, I think, Broken Chalice?
No, I don't know about that one.
Maybe? I don't know.
But so this was it's a adventure, puzzle game. And it kind of looks like a Don Bluth kind of look to it.
Ew.
Which I really like. But
you have my attention, sir.
George Stobart. And you're an American lawyer who's just in Paris, just on vacation, and then a bomb explodes at the cafe that you're at, and it sets you on a whole adventure that involved the Knights Templar and this crazy cult that's trying to bring back Baphomet, and it goes on the really crazy.
Finally release?
It did.
When, this year?
Yeah, it released this year.
It wasn't on the 50 greatest games list.
It's an old, it's a remake of a game that came out in the 90s.
I'm just kidding, man.
But since I did back it,
I don't like lists.
I'm actually in the credits.
Are you?
So it's always nice to go. I'm watching the credits and go through, and I'm like, oh, there I am. There's
I love
my name.
That.
And
I love
it
that.
It does one of those things that I absolutely love with the remake or remastered games of old school ones, where you can hit a button and it goes to the original graphics.
Okay.
Then you hit a button and it goes to the new graphics.
I know how you love your Monkey Island that does that.
Monkey Island did that. Outlaws does that. I think Dark Forces. Didn't Dark Forces do that?
Your LucasArts did.
From the Night Dive?
I don't remember seeing that, but...
I know Outlaws does, where you can go back into the original graphics, or you can go back to the... you hit a button, it's the newer graphics, and it's really, that's smoothed it out, and it looks a little bit better. But this one, they hand-drawn the backgrounds and... the animation. And so, like, I'd get to a new scene, and I'd, like, swap back and forth just to see, like, how it looked when I was growing up and how it looks now. And I'm like, oh, that's really nice and stuff. So I played that, and I beat it. And I absolutely they did a director's cut that came out a couple years back, and it wasn't as good. They changed some of the stuff on it, and I was like, eh. But, like, yeah, Broken Sword. Shadow of the Templars is the name, or on the PlayStation 1, it was called Circle of Blood.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there was any other hits that we wanted to go over here for some of the new stuff. And I'm not really concerned, like I said, I'm not really concerned with it other than the best Steam Winter Sale game deals. I have no idea. That's all perspective, because it's like, what do you want?
Yeah, I know. It's so true. It's like you either sort by price on your wish list or sort by percent discount. Like, go those two routes, see what pops up.
I'm looking over this just to see what's available here.
Oh, yeah. Lethal says the Halo Master Chief stuff. You can go back and forth on Halo and, like, see the original graphics and then see the newer, like, updated graphics. And I like when you can do that because then, like, you're like, all right, that looks really dated. And, oh, look, that looks better.
Yeah,
it's just a little something extra for me that I enjoy.
Shadows. Assassin's Creed Shadows down to $35.
Okay.
That's not.
I really want to play those games again. I really do.
Yeah, I'm really kind of interested.
I love those first couple of games. I stopped playing after Black Flag, and I never went back.
Did you not do Odyssey or Origin? No,
I was really discouraged with how they had all this lore up in the trilogy that we discussed earlier. Yeah. You know, the Ezio trilogy, and they were taking it in a direction. And I'm really fascinated with like where they're going, because there's like three things, right? Like you got the past gameplay, like you visit all these, you know, incredibly historic areas. You have the present day story involving Desmond, and then you have the one that combines both of them with the people. Like, I don't know what they call. I forget what they were called, but like the Watchers or something, had some lore around that. And I'm like, I really want to know where that's going, because there was some cataclysmic event that everything was leading up to, and then they kind of abandoned that in Assassin's Creed 3, and then when they didn't even touch on it at all in 4, I was like, I don't know if I want to continue this franchise anymore, and I never picked up. I think the one that came after Black Flag 2 was like critically bombed.
Yeah, like Rogue
had an awful launch.
Yeah, Rogue was
bad. I can't remember what the name of it was.
Unity was
Unity,
bad.
Yeah,
because
Unity,
it was
Unity.
Yeah, they
Unity,
screwed
it was just
that
terrible,
up.
Like from the get go.
They went
like,
back and
good.
Fixed
like,
that, by the way. Just so people know. I mean, I know it's decade now.
Yeah.
But they did go back and fix that.
I like Black Flag, but I hate the part in the modern world where you're at.
Oh,
the,
me too.
That was just like
me
always
too.
The worst. I'm like, no, get me back to my shanty.
You're
like self-buggling.
You're in like a computer company, right?
Yeah.
Like you're walking around.
It's basically
and, like,
you're at Ubisoft.
Yeah, you log back into a
or
computer.
EA,
like,
yeah,
you know.
And I was like, "What am I doing?" And
with Origin, Odyssey, I didn't do Mirage. I didn't play that one.
I did.
I heard that was really short.
I don't know because I haven't finished it. Because
like,
I've kind
with,
of
with, starting with Origin with
lost
the newer
interest.
Ones, like they don't spend as much time, if at all, in the modern world or whatever.
Yeah.
At least there's that. But I did like Origin. I did like Odyssey a lot. And I like
Rogue
so
was
with,
the other one, right? Like
Mirage
was the one that...
is the one in the Middle East. Origins in Egypt.
Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla.
Oh, Valhalla. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that is $5 on Steam right now.
Oh, is it?
Assassin's Creed Valhalla?
Okay.
$5.
I do like how with Shadows... it allows you to, if you have the other one, you could play it from that, you know, like when you load up Shadows, it's like, which memory do you want to go to? And it has Origins, it has Odyssey, it has so you can, like, go back and forth from that sort of hub. They're kind of doing, like, a hub world of Assassin's Creed. You know, when you launch it, like, all right, which memory and which time frame do you want to go to?
Is it based on if you've played them before, or is it just...
I think it's if you own them. Because I was able to go through, like, even though I launched Shadows, I was able to go to Odyssey.
I mean, I owned them, but I haven't necessarily played them. would it still recognize that?
That I'm not sure. And I don't know how much of it is cross-platform.
You don't know what it's, right, yeah.
Because some I have on PC, some I have on PlayStation. So,
I understand.
I don't know. But that's at least something, you know, interesting.
Well, that was...
Yeah, these would be good deck games. I'm kind of interested now that we're talking about it. I might, for $5, I'm going to pick some of these up.
Yeah, I think Valhalla is $5 on Steam. If I remember right, and it's the base game.
Yeah, that was cool. I like Valhalla.
I played that, but yeah. Not. I got to. Oh, geez, it's all slipping my mind now. I got to the part where you're actually in Asgard.
Okay.
In that game, and
oh my god, you go to Asgard?
You do, and it's a massive map.
It is, and it's vertical, and it's
I mean, I'm here in. I'm here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm doing the Viking thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you hit this thing where you actually go to Asgard, and there's another map that's just this big, huge place. And I thought, Jesus Christ, so much stuff.
Big. Yeah.
So yeah, they're really good about opening up those things.
Yeah,
it's really funny too because now I'm looking at all of them and I'm noticing that they remastered like Assassin's Creed 3.
They did,
so, like, yes.
They did, which I didn't think deserved a remaster, to be honest with you. I mean, if you were going to remaster that, you just need to remake it because the story wasn't great.
Yeah.
I feel like they botched the landing on what they were trying to do with the trilogy that we thought we were supposed to have. Like, you got to wrap up Desmond's thing because you keep losting us, which is you throw more questions than you do answers. So maybe we're getting an answer here, and we don't. And it really annoyed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other big problem with the third one, too, is like they try to cover too much time. Like they wanted to put all these historical figures.
Yeah,
you know,
how do we get like everyone from the Revolution in there?
Exactly. And then they just bounce around. Like sometimes I think like the story jumps forward like 50 years or something, you know, so
and
that you can get the next name.
The main character. I know.
It didn't really work for me.
It didn't hit me like.
But you were coming off Assassin's Creed 2, which I just told you was tough. Like the best of
how
the
do you
best.
Follow that up?
In gaming, not just the Assassin's Creed series.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was a big letdown for that. Although Syndicate, I was like, that's great. I'm happy.
Syndicate was interesting.
Yeah. The two different characters you could switch between.
Yeah,
the setting was my favorite.
Through London.
Yep. That was my favorite as far as the setting and stuff. And then the little flashbacks
into World War One.
Yeah.
Well, flash forward.
Or flash forward.
Wait, Syndicate was London? What was the France one?
That's Unity.
Was it Unity or Rogue?
Unity was France.
Then which one was Rogue?
Okay.
Rogue was, boy.
Oh, yeah, Unity would be France, because you're like the French Revolution, I believe.
Oh, no. Unity, okay, so this is interesting. There is a character in Rogue that shows up in Unity.
Yeah, weren't they trying to cross?
They were, they were. There's a character in Rogue that shows up in Unity. Rogue, they're a child. In Unity, they're an adult.
Okay.
And
there's a
brief mention of the moment from the previous game. The way they did that was really ridiculous. Rogue was released on previous gen consoles. Unity was on
next gen
only.
Yeah.
So it's like wherever you're going, man, you've got an Assassin's Creed, but you need to pick one that you're gonna go with. You know? It was kind of annoying that they did that. So I think that's going to wrap it up for us, guys. I really appreciate Steve, you joining us.
Thanks,
Matt,
Steve.
I appreciate you coming in and baking cookies for everybody.
No problem.
You guys have a fantastic Christmas and a great new year. And it's just been a wonderful year again. And it's been wonderful for everybody in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. Lethal Migraines in there. We got Thar, AC Wraith. Let me see if I can bring up, see who else is hanging out in there. We got, Brian. Yeah, Brian. Is in there Crackamus?
I like it.
Patty Cat 86, AC Wraith, like I said, and we got Matt and RJ. Thank you so much for coming in every single episode here. We really do appreciate it. You guys have a fantastic week, a fantastic Christmas and New Year, and we'll see you in January. Here's our final song for the show. We're going to play all of it. It is a sleigh ride Mario thing, so enjoy it.